Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm thrilled because today I have with me Brian Yetton. Brian, at the age of 30, received a PhD in computer science at UC Berkeley, and also by 30 raised $20 million for two high-tech startups, became internationally known academic and speaker, made and lost millions three times, and burned out twice. Really something for 30 years old. He has gone from being the one in high school that the class chess team made fun of to simply having it all. Yet he felt miserable. In the midst of an emotional and spiritual crisis, he began reaching out for help and found his worldview shaken to its core. This led to 6 years of deep inner work and an MA in spiritual psychology from the University of Santa Monica. Today, Brian delights in doing business in a different, more loving, more purpose-filled way, and in helping others to do the same. He specializes in supporting entrepreneurs and executives as they build companies that create both money and meaning. He writes the Conscious Business column for the Huffington Post and is an author of both Selling by Giving and the book Yes, Yes, Hell No, the little book for making big decisions. Over the last 8 years, he's coached dozens of top transformational leaders in the industry and supported thousands of purpose-driven professionals on their journey to six- and seven-figure success. With all that said, what really excites Brian is his family. He lives in Los Angeles with his wife, Nicole, and they spend much of their time wondering how their daughters could be so cute. I've met them. They are just so cute. Brian, welcome.
Glad to be here.
I'd love to start out, for those that have not had the pleasure of meeting you yet, if you could tell us a little bit about what brought you to this total shift and this passion and purpose that you now hold for your life goal and commitment.
Well, the backstory behind all my manic overachievement that you can see in that bio, I was an addicted overachiever for my 20s in particular, was that my birth mother died when I was 3 years old. And it was a very traumatic event for me. And my dad remarried 6 months later to an amazing, wonderful woman who treated my sister and I like her own. We had two more brothers and sisters, had this perfect, happy family. But underneath the surface, I completely, utterly repressed the wound and never grieved my mom's death. I rebonded to the new mom, and we just went on like this perfect, happy Beaver Cleaver family. And yet there was a tremendous wound and a tremendous fear of abandonment underneath the surface. And so that led to this never enough, never enough, never enough. I've got to do more, I've got to do more. And then I joke, the problems all started the third time I became rich. I'm 30 years old. My youngest sister's getting married. So everybody else in my family's married now. I'm the only single one. And I can't stay in relationship more than 3 months. And that freaked me out. And we've made all this money. Our company's just gone public. All these things, all these achievements, everything I thought I needed in order to have the love I want, I've now achieved all those things, and I'm empty and alone. And that started a year of depression that got worse and worse until I finally did something crazy, reached out for help, started getting support from self-help and therapy and other things. And as part of that, I actually had a spiritual wake-up experience where I connected to, it was both an emotional and a spiritual wake-up. It was emotional, and I connected to the wound for the first time and started grieving my mom's death as a four-year-old. And then I actually got through the wound to the other side. And I actually had an experience of who I was as a spiritual being having a human experience. And I was like, oh, Well, I thought I was an atheist, but there seems to be something here. And it was an experience of just getting that who I really am is love, who we all are is love, and that the wound was what was holding me back from that. And so that caused me to embark on 6 years full-time. I walked away from a rather ridiculously lucrative career in Silicon Valley and took the money I'd made and invested it in myself. And that's a big piece of why I'm so incredibly grateful to be married to my wife and have our two incredible daughters, because it's truly the biggest accomplishment of my life was to heal that wound to the point where I could open my heart enough to love.
Mm, what a beautiful story. And, you know, now you have such a beautiful family, and to be able to really concentrate the focus on that and have that come to fruition is really fabulous.
Thank you. It's something I'm incredibly grateful for. I don't take my family for granted.
Yeah, yeah, I know that about you. And, Brian, you have just written this fabulous book, Yes, Yes, Hell, No. Tell us a little bit about that and why that was written.
So, I mean, the genesis for the book actually came out of a chance I had to sit down with dinner with Jack Canfield 3 or 4 years ago, and I was eagerly listening to him and asking questions, and then at the end I offered just one thought I had about the problem in the transformational industry, which was that it seemed that the core problem of doing transformational work was that people are scared to change. And so that in response to that, we've seen two responses. We've seen the hard salespeople who get really aggressive and manipulate people into purchasing something in the face of their fears, and then everybody else who does what I call give up. And I said, you know, my experience is the problem is that the bigger the opportunity is, the more it shows up as a yes, yes, hell, no. It shows up where the voice of intuition says go forward, the voice of reason says, yep, check it out, but the voice of fear says hell no. I don't want to change in that way. It's going to take me outside my comfort zone. By definition, anything that's a really good change, any big change, whether it's good or bad, takes us outside of our comfort zone and evokes some of our deepest fears. And so as I was looking back on my own life, I realized that all of the biggest positive, courageous choices I'd made, including leaving Silicon Valley for Southern California, including getting married to my wife, number of other examples that I share in the book, had all been marked by this really clear yes, yes, hell, no experience. And as I was looking around at my clients' experiences, I realized that, wow, that it's theirs too. Like the biggest, most trustworthy way I've learned to make big decisions is when you actually have a deep conflict inside, but you're able to tease apart the voices and realize what's intuition and what's fear. And Jack said, that's genius. That is just, you've absolutely diagnosed the whole industry. You know, will you actually come coach my organization on those topics? And I, like, melted down into a pool of unworthiness. I couldn't understand, couldn't imagine the idea of me coaching Jack Canfield on this stuff. So I hemmed and hawed and danced and tried to have him do something else other than what he asked me for. And, you know, rather than just say, yes, can I see if I can help, I, you know, screwed the whole thing up. But stayed in relationship, and eventually wrote the foreword for the book. Because it's such a pivotal piece, both for how do we make big decisions in life, and then also for coaches, counselors, healers, how do we support our clients in creating change? How do we enroll people cleanly by helping them make the conflict explicit and teaching the tools for how to work with it?
Mm-hmm. How beautiful is that? And, you know, it's just such a unique concept and such a unique approach. And what I loved is when we talked together before, you really talk about the fact that in this process that you outline in the book, people begin to think of what they are giving to their clients as a gift and something so important for the clients that they're operating from that space. And I love that. Can you talk a little bit more to that?
Sure. So this is specifically for people who are coaches, counselors, and healers, or they're in the business of change. And when you start to see that people's fears are part of the process, what I hear over and over from people is, you know, if I could just find the right clients, if I could just find those perfect magical clients who have tremendous opportunities for growth and change and are willing to do the work. If I could just find those clients who are willing to do the work, right? And they didn't have a yes, yes, hell, no, basically is what they're saying. But if I could find those magical clients who have a huge, exciting, scary goal that they're not scared of, then they would just sign up with me and we'd do this amazing work. And it doesn't work that way. One of the biggest things I've learned is that the better your client is, the more it's an ideal client, the more value you can help them create, the more the deep conflict is going to show up during the enrollment conversation. And when you really get that, everything starts to change. So, for example, I'm in an enrollment conversation. I just got off the phone with somebody yesterday. It's our third call. I haven't charged him a dollar. It's a deep conversation I teach and practice. And we're in a conversation about doing some very in-depth coaching at somewhere between $30,000 and $60,000 per year. I didn't start that way. That's me having grown and grown and grown and learning how to do high-level work and integrity where everybody gets exceptional value from the work. And it's not about the fee. It's just an example of the type of conversation. It's a high-level conversation. And part of what made me think that this could be really good fit is that on our first call, we helped open up some new possibilities. We helped him see that there were some big yes, yes, hell no goals inside of him that he'd been denying for 20 years. And I basically warned him, you know, if we're opening up this box, and he's very successful already, but he had a whole piece of his calling he hadn't been accepting and acknowledging and owning. And I said, you know, so I want you to now take a look at what's really going on with that. What do you really want? If we could help you manifest this calling, what do you want to do? And on the second call, he said, Brian, I almost canceled. I'm very senior at what I do. You know, I've been doing this work for 25 years. I'm really, really, he's very, very senior in his field. And he said, I had a full-on panic attack and then fits of rage come out this week. Like, I have never been that emotionally out of control in, like, 20 years. And I almost, like, canceled, but thankfully you told me about this yes, yes, hell, no thing, and I was able to see that, okay, maybe this is actually on course indicator. And here I am. and sure enough, we kept unpacking it, and as we talked to the voice of rage, actually he'd already done this work because he's really good at this, he said, I realized that the rage was the piece of me that was so angry that I'd been denying my calling and was finally coming up out of the depths to be expressed because it was just pissed off. It's like, no more. How old are you going to get before you own this piece of you? Right? So when you can start to really see and celebrate all the ways that a yes, yes, hell, no shows up for people, then it allows you to turn the enrollment conversation as well as your fee that commits them in the face of their fears into a tremendous gift to them. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense, absolute sense. And really, honestly, I had never thought of it that way, and particularly from a practitioner standpoint, someone who is coaching other people and so forth. If you're coming from that place, you're not only holding your own value, but you're doing such a tremendous service for people when you're thinking of it in those terms.
Absolutely. It's a great irony that my enrollment conversations, what most people think of selling their services, which I judged to be that as well, because we were all trained in selling, whether we know how to do it or not, we're trained that selling by taking is just sort of the way of the world. And I had to reinvent that whole piece of business and learn how to do selling in a way that's a gift, what I call enrollment rather than selling. And to my great surprise, my quote-unquote sales conversations have become some of the most profound coaching work I do, some of the most profound gifts I offer, and some of the most powerful spiritual growth for myself. That's where a lot of my fears come up as well. A lot of my yes, yes, hell, no's come up during those conversations for me to work with. So it turned into this extraordinary win-win-win-win thing, which it was the thing that I judged as one of the least spiritual, least conscious, least gift-y things, you know, that I just judged that selling had to be a taking, hard sell type of thing. And it was this discovery of the yes, yes, hell, no tool that really allowed that to happen.
I love that. I really love that. So for people that are just getting started, I would highly recommend that they go to Amazon and buy your book, Yes, Yes, Hell, No. But do you have, for the sake of our call here and our listeners, some tips that you could give us from the book for people just getting started on this path?
Yeah. So I want to talk about how to make friends with your fears. So this is one of the biggest tools we teach in the book. So the yes is hell no, you start with awareness of noticing that there's an inner conflict. That's a good thing. That the best possible way to make a great decision or find a great goal to commit yourself to is when the voice of intuition lights up. It's a feeling of light and joy and inspiration. It's not a verbal, rational thing. It's a kinesthetic thing, usually. So you feel there's a feeling of light and inspiration when you think about making a choice or committing to a goal. Then the voice of reason grounds it. It's not crazy. It's not a physical cliff you're jumping off of. It might be scary, but it's reasonably safe. And then the voice of fear says, hell no, run away. So that's the core conflict. And when you find that conflict, it's like the compass needle. The north pole of the compass needle says, go north. And then that's the voice of inspiration. The voice of fear is the south pole of the needle. And it says, run away from north. Go south. And in the absence of a real and present danger, the voice of fear is an almost perfect indicator of which way to go, as long as you go the opposite way. So the voice of fear becomes this almost perfect south pole to the needle, and then the voice of inspiration becomes this almost perfect north pole to the needle, and then you use the voice of reason to ground and make the choices as effective and efficient as possible to answer the question, how do I make this? Okay, so now as you do this, fears automatically come up. So how do you work with that conflict inside? And in our culture, just like there's these really deep conditioning around what it means to sell, there's also very deep conditioning about what it means to be courageous. And courage in our culture is defined in a very masculine, heroic terms. It's the archetype of the masculine, armored warrior slaying a dragon. And that is an external form of courage. It is a masculine external form. But if you're doing inner work, where you're working with the inside conflict, you can't slay your own dragons. One of the great truths of psychology from Carl Jung is that what we resist persists. And yet, this is what we do over and over and over again every day as we try to fight or flee or feed our fears. So when our fears come up, what most people try to do is push their way through. I need to conquer my fears. I need to overcome my fears. If I didn't have these darn fears, then I'd be successful. Or we flee from them. We numb out. We enable. We go shopping. We consume something. We distract ourselves. Or we feed them. We go into victim consciousness and wallow about how miserable our life is. Okay, so in response to fear, we almost always go to fight, flight, or feed, which are just different forms of meeting fear with fear. It's a fight or flight response that's fear. So it just makes it worse. So the other choice is to embrace your fears, to literally make friends with them, and get to understand what is the warning that they have to offer. Because the purpose of the voice of fear is not to stop us. Voice of fear is serving us the best way it knows how, always. But if we don't listen to it, if we're in an adversarial relationship with it, then what it does is it starts to sabotage and get louder and louder and louder, and it takes over more and more of your life. Right? And if anybody's dealing with depression or anxiety, I almost guarantee that there's a place inside where you're deeply fighting that voice of fear and judgment inside of you. As opposed to learning how to embrace it, not to wallow in it, not to feed it, but to listen to it, to love it, to let it speak as itself, not as truth, to hear the warnings that it has to offer. Its purpose is to warn us of dangers, not to stop us from taking action. I want to repeat that. The purpose of fear is to warn us of possible dangers, not to stop us from taking action. And so we teach this almost miraculous tool. I teach this almost miraculous tool in the book called Making Friends with Your Fears, where you actually go in, talk to the fear, listen to it, listen to its warnings, find out what its positive purpose is, give it the acceptance it's been looking for, let it feel like it's done its job, that it's been listened to, and then it tends to shut up. It says, okay, I've done my job, but the warnings have been heard. I don't need to be on a 5-alarm fire now. I can go back to sleep. Okay? I do this live in groups of people, and we regularly will take people who are experiencing a level 8 or 9 fear on a scale of 1 to 10, and it'll drop to a 2 or 3 in less than 10 minutes. And it's not like this big, hard thing. It's this like it's like a magic trick, almost.
That is just incredible. Just so, so powerful.
It's astonishing to me every time it happens. It's like, this really shouldn't work this well. But it just consistently shows up as a pattern and as a process over and over again.
Oh, I love it. That's so amazing. And there's this and so much more in the book. So I hope everyone will run out and get Yes, Yes, Hell, No, because I just love the book. And you've been so kind as to do work with our company that has been super beneficial. And that was one of the prerequisites, was for us to read the book. And it was just a wonderful gift, Brian, I have to say.
Thank you.
Really wonderful gift. Well, time has just flown by, but if you have some closing words to say or some parting messages or words of wisdom, I would love to hear them.
Yeah, so I would just say that if you are feeling a calling towards anything in your life, okay, I find that these days more and more people are waking up and they're feeling and acknowledging some purpose that wants to come through them. For example, I work with a lot of coaches, counselors, and healers who are very explicitly doing purpose-driven work, entrepreneurs, executives, people who want to do something more than just make money. There's something else in there. And artists, wherever it is, okay? If you're saying yes to your calling, there's this almost universal pattern I see where, again, people misinterpret what their feedback is supposed to be when they're on path. And over again, I'm working with entrepreneurs, I'm working with coaches, counselors, healers, with executives who are trained that they shouldn't be scared. If they're feeling fear or conflict, it means they're going the wrong way or there's something wrong with them. Or they're procrastinating. Procrastination is a sign of an inner conflict. It's one of the ways yes says hell no shows up. So they're procrastinating, they're wasting time, they're judging themselves, they're stuck in some way. And it breaks my heart when I see people start to question their calling. And say, oh, if I was really meant to be doing this work in the world, if I was really meant to be serving people, if I was really meant to be writing these books, helping these clients, doing this thing that feels like it wants to be birthed in me, then I wouldn't feel afraid. And that is the opposite of the truth. Okay? It doesn't mean that you always have to be afraid, but if you're feeling inspired and scared at the same time, that means you're going the right way. Okay. And one of the things I love doing is as I facilitate different groups and trainings where we take high-level entrepreneurs and coaches, counselors, healers, bring them together in a safe place, and everybody starts opening up, and everybody's scared. Everybody's got exactly the same fears, exactly the same problems. And when we start realizing, oh, I thought that meant I was going the wrong way, there's something wrong with it. Oh, we're all doing it. We're all going the right way together. It creates this amazing acceptance inside, which, again, is the key ingredient that allows the yes, yes, hell, no to turn into a yes, yes, yes. So the acceptance of the conflict is the magic key for releasing the conflict.
Mm. Yeah, it's so counterintuitive, and yet it's so amazingly powerful, really powerful. Brian, I know that everyone can get Yes, Yes, Hell, No on Amazon.com. It's readily available in Kindle as well as paperback. But if they would like to connect with you, is there a website where they can go to do that?
Yeah, please go to yesyeshellno.com. It's not very hard. Yesyeshellno.com. And on there you can download the companion workbook. So you can get the first 5 chapters of the book as well as the full companion workbook that walks you through all the tools and the exercises that we teach in the book. So please buy the book on Amazon and then go to yesyeshellno.com to get the workbook. It's the companion guide. It's a really beautiful companion book. And that way you can really take this not just as a theory, but you can actually turn this into massive action and to create exceptional value for you in your life.
Oh, I love that. And that's so generous of you. Thank you so much for your generosity of time today, in addition to these wonderful generosity in giving this gift of the workbook and the first chapters of the book. So everyone, the book is on Amazon.com. Again, Yes, Yes, Hell, No. And you can go and retrieve all of these wonderful gifts from Brian at yesyeshellno.com. So, Brian, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And for those of you who would like to learn more about Expert Insights Publishing, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, our global broadcasting communities, you can find us at getei.com. That's GETEI.com. Thank you for being here, and everyone have a wonderful week.